Hello, 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 people, and welcome to the first ever episode of For the Glove of the Game. For the Glove of the Game is a keeper-only show where we're going to be going through and talking to keepers in the USL system across all leagues, Championship, League One, League Two, W League, eventually Super League. And we're going to be talking to goalkeepers about their path, why they got into goalkeeping, what kind of gloves they wear, you know, ways they like to play, and just their whole career. And then we're going to take, if it's during the off season, their best game in recent memory, or, you know, one of their most recent matches, if they were a player of the week or such. Before we get too far into it, though, I want to go ahead and thank one of our presenting people, which is Prompt Focus Goalkeeping. If you like people in the USL, if you like supporting small businesses, if you like supporting Black businesses, like Black-owned businesses, check out Brandon Miller's company, Prime Focus Goalkeeping, because Prime Focus Goalkeeping is a goalkeeper-specific soccer brand that is dedicated to providing goalkeepers with professional-quality goalkeeper gloves. I bought some. I mentioned it on the last USL show. I'm awful at goalkeeping. I can't catch anything. We played a game in the rain. I was catching everything. I'm not that good. I was catching stuff, which that should tell you something. And it's great gloves, good lifestyle stuff. I have some merch in the closet. It's great. I bought it. They didn't send it to me. I bought it because it's worth the money. And training apparel plus a robust catalog of free goalkeeping resources. Good stuff. They offer everything from informational blog content to in-depth podcast interviews and free educational downloads. The brand is the ultimate one-stop shop for all your goalkeeping needs, no matter your age or skill level. Like me, I'm bad. You can learn more about the brand at their website, www.primefocusgoalkeeping.com. Now, speaking of goalkeepers, we have our first ever guest. Super excited. We're talking to a guy who hails from Jamaica. He is not a one, not two, not three, not four, not five, not six, not seven, not eight, but nine-time Jamaican international. And we are talking about GK1 of Lexington, but where's the 13? Amal, how you doing, man?
I'm good. Thanks for having me, guys. How are you?
Hey, doing great. Amal, we're going to be looking at your match last year versus Charlotte Independence, the one that you won the player of the week, and you had an incredible match. But first, I kind of want to just know, how did you get started being a goalkeeper?
So I actually started out as a goalkeeper every goalkeeper plays out. They feel like they're an outfield player, so that's how I started out. You know, I started out in the field, and then I really liked how the goalkeepers dressed back then. And I'm like, you know what? I think I want to try this position. And the position opened up when a friend of mine, when you were in elementary school, or as we call it, like prep school back in Jamaica, he actually migrated to the States, and the position was open, and they were like, does anyone want to volunteer to be a goalkeeper? And I'm like, hey, probably this is the opportunity for you, Amal. So I actually volunteered, and I liked it. I liked the fact that the goalkeepers back then, they wore like all long sleeve short pants and shirts. So I'm like, you know what? I like how they dress. They're unique. They're different from everyone else. So let's give it a try. And that's how it opened up. He migrated, and I gave it a try, and from that, I never looked back.
So, just wondering, what's your all-time favorite goalkeeper kit? Like color. Like, what's your favorite color kit?
You know, to be honest, I like black goalkeeper kits for some reason. Love it. Like, black goalkeeper kits are like, they're nice. Black kits, nice.
Yeah. Love that. So, I mean, is that something that you're going up to Lexington front office, be like, hey, I have an idea?
I told them last season that for this season, I want a black kit. I think they said I do have a black kit, but I'm not sure yet.
Hey, like, so excited for that. Hey, if it's out there, we'll buy it. Love that, man. You know, you volunteer, and I think a lot of people who have never played goalkeeper, or even some people who do, it's like you kind of have to be a little bit crazy to kind of hop into net. Like there's the people kind of watch you from afar, the outfield players especially. They see a goalkeeper, you're all together, you're just kind of cutting up, you're diving around, especially when you're a little kid, you're diving in mud. You're just trying to get as muddy as you can and get as dirty as possible. It is one of those things that's really, really fun the first time you get into it. When you first got into a game and you got into one of those one-on-one situations where you got the big save, you know, do you remember what the first one really felt like?
Actually, I can't remember, to be honest. That was so long ago, so I actually can't remember. But I do remember I won the under 13 competition back home in Jamaica. That was my first ever trophy that I won, and I remember it was a penalty shootout that the game went into a penalty shootout, and I saved I think it was two penalties. So yeah, and that was like probably raw talent, not getting coaching and stuff like that, you know. But I won that league, and we won the league under 13. That was my first ever club team back home in Jamaica. So, you know, that was really a special moment, you know.
So talking about coaching, you Lexington just hired their goalkeeping coach. But like you just mentioned, not a whole lot of goalkeeping coaches, you know, at the U13 level, you know, whether it be in Jamaica or in the United States, not a whole lot of goalkeeping coaching going on. When the first time that you sat down with a goalkeeping coach and you had a specific coach helping you, do you remember about when that was?
I remember I was probably around 14, 15, 16, probably around that time. I remember, I think my first goalkeeping coach was by the name of Paul Campbell. He was a legend in Jamaica. He built a lot of goalkeepers, Donovan Ricketts, Andre Blake. You know, you can name a few that he, guys like those passed through his hands, you know. I was fortunate to get the opportunity where he saw the talent in me from a young age, and I got a few sessions with him. That was when he was in Jamaica with a club called Portmore United. And I was just a little kid back in high school, you know. I remember when I was in high school, I got to go with the senior goalkeepers, like the senior local based goalkeepers that were in the national pool at the time at 16 years old, just going there training, getting stuff done, you know. These were when the Brazilians were a part of the Jamaica national team, so that can tell you how long ago that was. But I remember those moments, you know. And I got the opportunity as a young kid to train with them at the high school level. I played well. I was a standout at the high school level back home in Jamaica. So, you know, I that's when I really got the opportunity to get some real goalkeeping coaching and all that stuff.
Let's kind of pivot a little bit. And I want to talk about gloves because you are the only person on the pitch that gets to wear the fun gloves. And I kind of want to know, what's the brand that you use first off?
I'm using Renegade right now. I just signed a contract with Renegade, so that's who I'm using right now. I was with Aviata Sports. My contract expired last year, and I've been back and forth with Renegade for probably like 3 months, so we finally got a deal over the line. So I'm really excited to be a part of that team to help the brand grow. The glove is amazing so far, you know, so I'm looking forward to see what the future holds for both myself and the Renegade brand.
When kind of thinking about that Renegade brand, you have a unique situation that you have to play on. Your home field is turf. A lot of USL League One is turf. When you're, you know, talking to Renegade and saying like, these are the gloves that I need, how do you balance, you know, I play on turf, I don't want these to rip apart instantly, but also still having soft enough latex that you can still catch things?
To be honest, like I don't ask for turf gloves, to be honest. I feel more comfortable just wearing the normal gloves. It's how you take care of it, it's how you dive and all that stuff. And to be fair, I don't go through gloves so easily. I don't rip my gloves so easily. So, and I normally probably like rotate my gloves. Like if I wear one pair today, I'll wear another pair tomorrow and just keep rotating it so it doesn't like fall apart really quickly, you know? It doesn't really, my gloves don't rip up so easily either. So most of the times I actually give away my gloves. And they're in really good condition when I give them away. Last season, I gave away a couple gloves as well. You know, I pull a pack and a kid wants a glove, a young fan wants a glove. Hey, Anite, can you sign those gloves? Can I have those gloves? And I'm like, yeah, you know, I'm fortunate enough. I'm sponsored. So obviously I'm fortunate enough. Thank God that I can be able to give a young kid a glove if he wants it, you know. So not all the time I give them, because sometimes it's like, I just get a glove starting to work in and it feels really good. So you don't want to really give that one away. And then you have to take like 2 weeks or, you know, to get a glove worked in again. So, but, you know, as I said, I'm fortunate enough and I thank God that I have a contract, you know.
What size gloves do you wear?
Say again?
What size gloves do you wear?
Oh, I'm a size 10. I normally took size 11, but for some reason, like size 11, I had a little space, and I really like when my gloves are tight knitted on my hands, so I just came down a size, and I'm a size 10. I've probably been a size 10, like, probably four years now.
What kind of cut do you like to go with? Are you, like, a roll finger, a negative, hybrid?
No, so I'm a negative cut.
Negative? Yeah, For people who aren't privy to goalkeeping, can you kind of explain what the negative cut means?
Oh, so the negative cut is the one that like has like a flat palm. The stitching is not too. The stitching is on the outside, I think.
Mm-hmm.
I want to say the stitching is on the outside, and it's close, you know. As for the other cuts, I know there's one that the stitching is in the middle right here.
I think that's a roll. I think that's the roll.
Yeah, those are really uncomfortable for me. I dislike the roll cut. Yeah, because they normally rip like right here, you know.
Yeah,
they normally rip in the middle right here. So I dislike those. And I don't like to feel the annoyance of like my gloves rubbing my fingers, you know. So I really like the negative cut, no distractions. I feel my hands feel free in the glove and stuff my hands are breathable in the glove and stuff like that, you know?
So are you a person that likes the spines or the finger saves, or are you no finger saves?
No finger saves. As I get those, I take them out. I only have one finger save in. And that's for my finger that I broke twice. So I actually just keep it for that finger. But sometimes I actually do take it out and just I tape my fingers regardless. So,
which finger is it for you? I always love hearing which goalkeeper, like which one just gets the brunt.
Which, say again?
Which finger is it for you that just keeps getting broken for you?
It was my left ring finger, my married finger. So I'm wondering if it's a sign that I shouldn't get married. I don't know. I don't know.
The one that I've broken my right pinky 4 times.
Really?
I don't know. I've had a couple of others, but the right pinky just every single time. Don't know why.
I had it broken twice, and I'm like, I don't know, man. The first time I went for a ball, 50-50 challenge, I got there before the striker. He slid in, jammed my finger in the ground, broke it. The second time was actually weird because I went up for a ball. At the time I was going up, it was a corner, but it was whipped in really hard. And I went up for it. It got a deflection before hitting me. I made a save and it just snapped my finger. I don't know how, but it just snapped my, because the ball was whipped in really hard. And to be honest, I'm like, huh? I just got back because that was the time when I was here in the States and I had a stint with San Diego Loyal and FC Tucson, and that was a COVID year, so you know it was really tough. I didn't play much games and had to go back to Jamaica, and that was my first game back after 8 months, and my finger just snapped as I got back. So you know, but that's the nature of football sometimes.
You know, I want to talk about your moves just a little bit. You know, you spend a little bit of time Harborview, then you go to the University of West Indies, and then that's where you got a whole lot of playing time. You get a move to San Diego Loyal, where you mentioned you didn't play. I really don't think you made an appearance, but then you get a loan over to FC Tucson, play just a little bit, COVID year. You go back home and you go to the gardens, you go to Arnett Gardens, and then you go back to your boyhood club in Harborview. Through all those moves, especially when you decide to go from university and make the jump to the US, how hard of a decision was that?
It wasn't hard, to be honest, because at the end of the day, like always growing up in Jamaica, you hear that the United States have the most professional goalkeeper setup in the world. They have the best goalkeeper coaches in the world, you know, quote unquote. So I'm like, it was an easy decision for me, you know, getting that opportunity and just taking it with both hands, you know. And I think at the time when that came through, I was probably like the sixth or the seventh goalkeeper to leave Jamaica, you know? So that was really a highlight for me when I got the opportunity to come over here and play and show my talent.
Kind of showing your talent, there's a little bit of cutting your teeth to say, you come in to Loyal and you are GK2 or GK3. And your whole goal at that point is to compete to be the first goalkeeper. You know, you want to be GK1 going out there every single day, but you're also having to prepare GK1 to play the next match. How hard is that to balance being the number two?
To be honest, like when I went into Loyal, I didn't know what the situation was, to be honest, because I was the first ever goalkeeper signing for San Diego Loyal. I remember playing the first ever preseason game for San Diego Loyal, got a clean sheet against, I think it was FC Dallas, I think. And it just didn't work out, you know. Obviously you have to prepare the number one or whoever, is in front of you. And sometimes it's hard, but I'm a team player, you know, everyone wants to get on the pitch, and the goalkeeper situation is very unique. Only one person can play. It's not like an outfield player where he can play multiple positions. He can come in at any given time. You know, the goalkeeper's situation is really unique, and sometimes you just got to work until your number is called. And whenever you get that place of going in the goal, then you just show your talent, you know? So obviously being a number two or a number three, preparing number one, you know, you just have to be a good teammate. You got to be humble, respectful, and at the end of the day, it's a unit. You know, the goalkeeper unit is different. So the goalkeeper unit is really different, as I said. So that's about it. You know, you just got to push them, make sure you're there for them, supporting them no matter what. If they make a mistake, you can help them, because sometimes they're probably at the best of their games, or sometimes they have a bad game, but you can point out where you might say, hey, I think you could have done that better. Some people might be receptive to the information, some might not be, based on the position that they're in. But for me, I'm a team player, and regardless if I'm playing or not, I'm going to be a team player. I'm going to keep pushing, because at the end of the day, I'm trying to make myself get better also, you know? So that's basically it, yeah.
I mean, it's such a, and I want to talk about at the very end of this episode about being a GK2, because, you know, you kind of mentioned the units, and if people kind of see the hashtag if they're on Instagram or Twitter, or, you know, the whole GK union, but it really is just such a unique position to be in, because different than the outfielders, like you mentioned, they get to come on and they get 15 minutes at the very end and they get a little bit of time. Meanwhile, unless something tragic happens, you're not coming into a match. Exactly. And you're there to support the GK1. He's not the one that picked the lineup sheet. He's not the one that, you know, put himself in there. It's someone else. It's, you know, the coach, whomever, someone above above you. So you have to support him while also working like crazy to be as good as you can. And I feel like that's what kind of makes that GK union, that goalkeepers union, so unique.
For sure, for sure. Because you have no control over what happens, you know? You only can train and be a professional and leave the rest to the coaching staff, you know?
Well, we'll come back and I want to talk a little bit at the very, very end about your international time, because that's it's always fun whenever you can represent your country. But I want to talk about your match that you had against the Charlotte Independents last year. And if you are on podcast only, go to about 21 minutes, 40 seconds, and we're showing video. I highly recommend you watching the video because it's going to make this make a lot more sense. But we are going to be going through every single touch of the game. And if you were not privy to last year, Charlotte Independents last year was a very good, very strong attacking team. And Amal was kind of under pressure all night, but kept a clean sheet. And we're going to go over every single touch, every pass. And I want to start off with the first thing. Your first bit of action is a through ball that you have to get around and cut through. At that point, how do you decide to come out or to drop back and defend your goal?
To be honest, when I saw that play, it was like the game just started. So I remember I have a goalkeeper coach in Jamaica. He normally says, don't rush the game. Let the game come to you. And at that point in time, obviously, I know that the ball wasn't going to go out of play. So all I wanted to do was just get a boot to it, hit it off the player, hopefully it goes outside, which it did. And then we reset, and start the play, you know. But for that was like 2 minutes in the game. I wanted to make sure I was a little bit alert and stuff, which I was. And I just hit it off the player. It went out.
So next touch you have, if the video will play, is a goal kick. And you guys, to start this game, were playing it short.
Yeah.
Obviously, this was a game plan. And you guys end up working it out the back very nicely. We saw both out of you. We saw going long and playing it short. Which one do you prefer?
I like playing short, to be honest. Sometimes it's a bit risky. But I like playing short because sometimes you go along and then the ball comes right back at you. Even though playing short, you can make a mistake and the ball is in your net. You know what I mean? So
yeah.
It varies on the situation, to be honest, because if it's set up where they're setting you up to play short, sometimes you just say, you know what, I'm not going to take this bait. I'm just going to go long and we reset, get bodies up, get bodies behind the ball, and we play from there, you know. But for me personally, sometimes I like to play short and get out because it's beautiful when you get out, you know.
That's what we saw out of the one that you did here. I mean, just triangle beauty, and you know, ball comes back to you, and you just play it out, and it just goes around, and you break out of this pretty good press that Charlotte had all year long.
Yeah, they are really organized on their pressing, you know, and they have some really speedy guys up top. So to break the press, and you know, once you break the press, you're out, you know, and then we just have to pick the right passes up the pitch. So I like playing short, as I said. Sometimes it will work, sometimes it doesn't work, but the most important thing is just playing through those lines to get the ball at the top of the pitch as quickly as possible.
Next play you had, simple. It was just an offside call, and you played over to your right back, which was just super simple. Kind of, I feel like you had it was an obvious play there, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So the next one, the ball comes back to you, played over to your left back. Again, super simple pass. And the next one you have is another ball that comes back. You have it at your feet, play it to your left back, which I've noticed with your film, you always just kind of play play it to wherever is a lot of space. Is there a kind of a temptation as a keeper to try to, you know, play that that threaded ball or try to go over the top and catch them out fast? Or is it, hey, take the space that's given?
Take the space that's given. For me, I don't want to overcomplicate things. I just like to keep it simple. If it's on, why not play? You know, the speed of play has to be there too. You can't just stop the ball and then invite pressure all the time. Sometimes the open space is there. Why not just one touch into my left center back, into my right center back, or my outside backs? You know, so obviously there are times where you probably might see a play where you can go over the top and you try to hit that ball as best as possible so that your forward or midfield can run under that ball and get there yet so we can create a chance. But for me, it's just not overcomplicating things and just hitting the simple passes, you know?
For sure. Next up, I don't remember what came next on the video. It's been a little bit since I looked at it. Oh, the ball came straight back to you. From here, when the ball comes back to you from a left back or from your left back position and you have a forward that's coming down on you, you know, what are you kind of looking for? You play it back to your center back, but what were you looking for in that situation?
I was looking for movements, to be honest, because my right center back is close to me. The forward is pressing from that direction, so I'm not going to try and play there, even though you want to switch the point of attack and possession. You know, you always want to try and get the opponents on balance. So start it from one side and end the play on the other side, you know. So for me, it's just, I don't think it was there, to be honest. And as I said, sometimes the speed of play, if the ball is not punched into you at a nice speed, there's nothing you can do other than probably just punch it back to where it's coming from. So not to take any risk, as I said before, not to overcomplicate things, I just gave back my left center back.
Gotcha. From here, again, this video is taken. There it goes. The ball comes back to you. You have a guy on you, and you just kick it long. When you have someone pressing you and they're sprinting at you, you know, is the goal just, hey, just get it out of there? Don't take any risk?
Yeah, for sure. Just get it out, reset, get bodies under the ball, get them organized as quickly as possible, and then we defend the second ball.
You defended in this match a lot of crosses, a lot of corners. And early in this one, if I'm remembering correctly, the ball just kind of went to the back post. Not a whole lot happened, foul given. But what is your plan in this situation whenever you kind of see that you're about to take on a lot of crosses? Are you more of an aggressive player that comes for crosses, or do you just kind of sit back and defend the goal line?
No, I assess the situation. So if I can take pressure off my defenders, I'm going to take pressure off them, regardless if it's in a crowd, if it's whipped in. Sometimes the balls that are whipped in, you have some balls that are whipped in at the 6 yard and you can't go for it because it's whipped in with so much pace and it's in a good spot. Sometimes you definitely can't get there, you know, and sometimes people don't understand that not every ball that comes in the 6 yard box is for a goalkeeper. Mm-hmm. A lot of people tend to say, oh, once it's in the 6 yard, the goalkeeper should be coming for that. But sometimes it's definitely, you can't do nothing than just stay on your goal line where the ball is just whipped in with pace and accuracy, and you just can't do nothing other than just hope that your defenders take a touch and get it out. So once I know that there's a team that has like a lot of crosses, and I kind of try to study the players and see where they hit the ball most times, you don't want to cheat either, because if you cheat, you don't know what can happen. So you just have to play the ball on the merit and see, pick up the flight early and all that stuff.
From here, your ball from the foul, yeah, you just played it to your right center back. Not a big deal. And I think eventually it does come back to you in this one. We'll see. But, yeah, just super simple pass, little deflection, and immediate attack. When you're going from, and you get a save, when you're going from playing it out the back and it doesn't really work and you're having to immediately scramble back to the goal line, we can't see you here in this video, but about where are you trying to be? Are you still trying to be an outlet pass as the point of playing it, or are you immediately trying to get back into the goal or around the 6 yard to just be prepared?
No, I'll definitely just go back to be prepared because we lost the ball. So I just want to be in a spot where I can make a save or make a play. So I just want to be in a really good spot, and I was in a good spot where the shot just was straight at me. I made an easy save, and I just started the move quickly.
Yeah, I noticed that. You immediately get the ball and you throw it. The camera cuts away from you, but you go straight into the midfield and immediately starts a counterattack, which that has to be a great feeling as a goalkeeper, knowing that you being able to make a stop and quickly distribute is just starting a chance for your team.
Yeah, for sure. You see that 1, 2, 3 passes can end up in a goal. The other day, just watching the EPL, I saw David Raya. He caught the ball, threw it out to his, I think, left back, played it down the line, cross, goal, 3 passes and a goal. So it's good when you can start the play really, really quickly because, as I said earlier, you want to catch the opponent unbalanced out of position. So the faster you play the game and the quicker you can start an attack, then it's better for your team.
From here, your next play, just another free kick. Just play it to your left fullback. Not a whole lot to do on that one. But ball immediately kind of comes back to you, and it's played back to you. You're under pressure. But this time you played it simple to your left fullback, even though before you lumped it long. What did you see differently on this one that kept you from just clearing it out?
Oh, the timing and the space. So there was space here where I didn't have to go long because I had options. He gave me an option. He opened up early, so why not just pass it to him? The option is there. I see where the forward is running from. I see his run. He's trying to cut off the right center back. So the free center back is, and it's just one forward pressing. The free center back is the left one. So just play it nice and easy, and we can get out.
Nice. Well, from here, you get a ball that comes in and it's, danger away. From there, those are some of those balls that I think, especially at the lower level, at the professional level, maybe not as much, but, there's probably, a defender yelling, keep, come get it. Because it's in the box, they think that you should just automatically be there. At what point do you decide, yes, I'm going to be aggressive, I'm going to come collect this ball, or is it going to be, I have a defender close and I need to be near my net? When do you choose that risk reward?
It depends on the ball, to be honest. It depends on the ball. If they say keep and I'm there, I make sure to tell my defenders or midfielders, anyone, that don't say keep because it might throw off another teammate. And it might throw me off too when I know it's probably not my ball, but because you're saying keep and you want the pressure off you, and I go there and I probably make a mistake or I end up in no man's land, So for me, I always tell them, don't say keep. If it's obvious, then, but otherwise, if it's a ball that's whipped in and I don't call, or if it's a ball that, because you can't get it, you expect me to get it because I'm the last line of defense, you're going to say keeper. I always tell them not to do that. I know when it's my ball from when it's not my ball. Sometimes you might get caught out based on your position. So you have to always be moving with the play.
Gotcha. Yeah. This one eventually goes out off of the defender and it goes out for a corner eventually. Another ball kind of comes through, and this one you do come and collect a shield. Your center back shields him off and you collect it quickly. And we're going to see you talking about switching the point of attack here. You immediately roll it out and start a counterattack. Talking about switching the point of play, what does that look like for you? I know for a lot of keepers or for a lot of people, it's wherever the ball comes from, go the opposite way. Is that a pretty good way to describe that?
Yeah, for sure. always I have always heard that once it's coming from the left side, you go to the right side, and as I said before, it's trying to get the opponents on balance. So the quicker you move it and get it out, you know, the opponents are on balance. So yeah, once it comes from the right, you try to channel it to the left side. Sometimes it might be on, sometimes it might not be on. So you just have to look at the situation and be mindful and play carefully. But switching the point of attack is really, it's really good.
I want to look at this ball real fast. This ball comes down and it takes a bounce, and it looks like it took a spin that you were not prepared for. Do you remember this ball and kind of just the way that it maybe took a deflection? Because it looked like by your positioning, you were expecting it to skip closer to you, but it just kind of held up. Is that kind of what happened?
Yeah, so the turf is really tricky. So when playing on turf, you have to be aware, because the ball, sometimes it just drops on the turf and it just dies.
So
when you're playing on grass, you know, if that ball had probably hit the grass, it would probably be skipping to me right into my arms. So okay, that's the thing with turf and grass. And sometimes it's challenging, because you have to adjust how you play on the turf and how you play on the grass. And sometimes if it rains on the turf, it's faster than the grass.
Which you guys had to deal with later in this game. We'll talk about that. And we're going to kind of speed up because, you know, we have a lot of film to look at here. But your center back shields off well despite the awkward bounce. You get it and immediately switch the point of attack. You kind of tell them to go up line. When you saw that space and you saw this kind of going through, and you're seeing a real attack chance come through from your positioning, I mean, just how exciting is that?
Yeah, it's really exciting, you know, that you started the play and the execution of the guys, it went through, because we work on stuff like that. So to see that the team is actually executing what we have practiced is really good. So that felt good. That was a goal scoring opportunity right there. Unfortunately, it didn't go in, but that's the nature of the game sometimes. One quick play, bam, 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 you're in front of goal, and hopefully you make it count.
I think that was one of the two balls that Austin Pack saved off of his face that day, which that's just never a good position. Like, you take a save, but getting hit in the face is never fun.
Yeah, never fun. I had that a lot last season in preseason last year, where we're training in the cold, and these soccer balls are just being hit at you, and then they hit you in the face, and then it stings, and the ball is like solid and you're cold. So yeah, it's never nice. But hey, sometimes when you make a face save in a game, you know, it's a save. Yeah. A save is a save regardless.
True. We're kind of just seeing that play again. Now we're getting another ball through. This one goes across the face. You're kind of sitting at your near post, going back to the middle here. And whenever you're kind of ready for one of these balls, how do you kind of judge your positioning on when to leave the near post?
Wherever the ball is played.
Okay.
So there's different position where the goalkeeper picks up, where the ball is, where the attacker is. So the closer the attacker gets to the goal, the closer you come up. The further away the attacker is, like, he's right at the touchline. Mm-hmm. I don't need to be hugging my near post. So, because what if he hits a square? What if he squares the ball, you know? Like, I'll be caught up dead. I'll be in no man's land. So I have to give myself a chance, whether to claim the ball if it comes across where I can get it, or I'm in a good position to make a save if it comes on target.
Yeah, and this one, another headed ball, and you're back, and like you mentioned, you are right on your near post, because he is right beside the post, and the only place he can really go here is that near post, and you have it guarded perfectly, and I think that's just a great example of what you were just talking about. You immediately got over and just went straight through as you're about to deal with the corner, and like we mentioned, you dealt with a lot of corners, and this one you come and caught. When you are dealing with, do I catch or do I not? Obviously, this one was a little bit closer to your goal, but is there – how do you judge how to aggressive to be?
If it's in a crowd – so if it's in a crowd and it's whipped in and it's close to you, you just want to get a fist in to get it away. Sometimes it can be whipped in, no crowd, you can catch it, but sometimes – to be on the safe side, you just want to get it out and reset. If it's a more looping ball, not whipped in too much, and you can collect it, why not collect it, take pressure off your defenders and the team?
I want to, from here, this whole game, you have been grabbing the ball, and you've been playing it very quickly, but this time, you let everybody kind of get up. And if I remember correctly, it does eventually lead to a scoring opportunity, but you just roll it out. Whenever you're trying, whenever you hold the ball up like you did, is it to give everybody a little bit of space to get back into position, or are you trying to create space for your fullbacks and center backs to work?
It's trying to create space for everyone, because we just defended a corner, which I caught. Take some time, take some pressure off the team, relax, slow down. You know, you can't be always going 100 miles per hour. So I get that ball. There's a chance to slow down the game, get everyone up the pitch, get back in their rightful positions, and then we start playing again.
Nice. Yeah, and this is another one of your big opportunities that you guys had in this one. Just a little bit late at the very end from a forward, or just the ball played just a little bit too heavily. But, I mean, this is just another opportunity that you guys had to score. This so far, you've had a lot to do in the first half. This is a very busy first half, and that one skips right to you. After you had the first ball that, you know, fooled you, how did you know just to trust that that one's going to land in your arms after you got fooled by the turf earlier?
Yeah, you just have to trust it, you know. Just put yourself in the best position as quickly as possible.
Gotcha. Yeah, and then you immediately switch the point of attack, and you guys get another little opportunity going. I don't fully remember what happens on this one. I feel like as long as this one's going, you guys had another opportunity. I made this, and then I don't remember what happens next. When you're playing from the back and you're kind of watching things, how do you view the game whenever it's in the other half? Where do you like to position yourself? Are you on the edge of the 18, or do you like to be even farther out?
No, I'm farther out. I'm sometimes on top of the center circle. It depends on where the ball is, to be honest. But last season I played a really, really, really high line. I remember one team tried to catch me out last season, probably twice. It didn't happen, but sometimes I'm like, most times I'm between the 20 and the 30. I might go to the 40 line sometimes if it's a corner kick, just to give a few instructions, make sure whoever is back there is organized, and just make sure they're on their P's and Q's, make sure they're alert to any situation that might happen if the ball comes out.
Whenever you see someone just try to catch you out, is it like a how dare you? Or is it just kind of laugh at them, and not laugh at them, but just kind of laugh about the situation, like you tried, like whatever?
to be honest, like I just play the game. If they if it happens, then, you know, the other day we saw where Drake Kalender got caught out, and he was in a good spot.
Yep.
He was in a really good spot because that ball was way over the half line, and he was on top of his 18, and he was really in a good spot, and he got caught out. So it can happen. But you have to play the line where you're seeing where the ball is, where your center backs are. So in case any danger, the ball comes over the top, you can be there to clear it, help them off, help the defenders, take pressure off them as usual, and just be in a good spot as always.
From here, you end up having another just attacking opportunity. The ball comes across. you have to deal with a, I believe it's another corner, yet another one. This is the first one over from the opposite side, and it's another in-swinger. Viewing it two in-swingers, but from the opposite side, is there any way you set yourself up differently, or do you have generally the same positioning for both?
The same positioning for both. Nothing changes.
This one comes in. It's a big looping one and header, and then it out goes the defense, which is always nice to see. They don't really show the highlights. One of the annoyances I have with the broadcast, they don't show the goal kicks. I get annoyed by it. But you played it short again. And this, we're going to see in just a minute that you have been, you end up playing long in the second half. But kind of talking about the second half, we're here in the second half now. And Charlotte is on the attack. And this time they're going down that left-hand side, speeding through. And I believe this is where you get your first big save of the game. And it's a nice parry away right to a midfielder. I want to just kind of look at this positioning, because this one gets cut across and you kind of move back to your net. You plant your feet, you see it. And is there, obviously you want to catch the, you always want to try to catch the ball, but here you kind of just parry it away and it goes to a midfielder. Is this kind of where you wanted to be, or is there stuff that you feel like you could have done differently?
No, I think I'm in the right spot, because obviously you can see that bodies are in front of me right there.
Mm-hmm.
So I have to put myself in a position where I can see the ball, but at the same time, be in a position where I'm guarding my net too. So to be in a spot like that, probably I would say I was in a decent spot, and to just get it out of danger's way. And thank God it went to one of my midfielders, and we just kept on playing. As you said, it was the first big save of the night for me that game. So I was just really happy. And to make this point, like, this Charlotte game was my first game back from, like, because I went to international duty, and this was my first game back. I came back from international duty, and I was on the bench for, I think, 6 or 7 games. So this was my first game actually back from I started the season. So to get that first save in this game was really good. It gave my confidence. It boosted my confidence. You know, it gave me a confidence booster, that save.
I want to just kind of talk about it. One of the next clip plays the USL ball. When I picked it up, it might be one of the slipperiest like balls I have ever seen. Yep. How hard is it to catch?
You know, it's pretty hard to catch, especially when your glove is wet, the ball is wet, all those little factors, you know. Sometimes you just gotta catch it. Sometimes it's all technique too. You know, the ball is, it has some little grip on it, but it's not crazy like a Nike or a Adidas ball, you know. But personally for me, I like the USL ball, to be honest.
Fair enough. This one, you get the ball back, it gets played to you. There's no real clear option, so you go long with it. This is the first time we kind of see you go long, but there was also just no clear options available to you.
Yeah.
This is the, is that just what the same case of what you were talking about earlier? See what you have. You didn't have anything go long.
Yeah, same option. Don't see anything. You don't want to take any risks. Just clear it out, boot it.
Unfortunately, this immediately goes to counterattack because you weren't able. The team wasn't able to win it. And this is a fantastic shot that comes in offside position from the guy who ends up scoring. Doesn't count, but it. You're here at the near post because you have to be prepared for him to go near, and he cuts it inside as he kind of did all night long. I already see you kind of not cheating that way, but you're already moving that way, seeing that he's a right footer on the left hand side. And you get a fantastic save. What did you see on this one?
I just saw him cutting, and all I'm saying is just get in position, because he might hit it back to the near. He might hit it to the far, which he went to the far. So I'm just like, get set, get your feet set, get into a position where you can make a save, you know. And this ball, this ball was hit really, really well because it moved. So I don't know how I saved that one, to be honest. Sometimes you make some save and you're like, how did you save that? But yeah, luckily for me, I got a big hand on it. It came back to him. The player was offside and we could breathe.
Yeah, I mean, when you get a save like that, and you know, he gets a deflection and decides, I get it, looks like he goes for a cross, but he also could have been trying to float it back post. Mm-hmm. And it just works out. Is that kind of a moment where you're kind of thinking, this is probably my night?
Yeah, because as I said before, that was my game coming back, you know. I was preparing really well. I felt confident, and as I told you earlier before, a coach told me, don't rush the game, let the game come to you. And that was me just letting the game come to me, taking it step by step, play by play. And I was just making saves that night, you know. So, yeah, and I really liked this save because it was a save where the forward, he dug in and he just hit it one time. Like, I didn't get enough time to set. And as I said, sometimes you just need to be in a position where you can make an effort.
In my opinion, you said you don't know how you saved the one before this, but this is the most impressive save to me. And the next ball comes straight to you and you sit on it for a little bit. How you just get barely a touch when he tries to go to the back post, pushing off on that back leg to try to get to the ball to the back post. How difficult was that?
That one was really difficult because I was still moving. I was still moving. I remember that one vividly where I was still moving and I'm like, wow, no way this goes in.
And oh, wow.
Thank God, like I got a touch and it was a strong touch actually. Mm-hmm. It was a really strong touch and thank God it. The guy that hit the rebound hit it in the ground and it just rolled to me.
So from here, you take a goal kick and you're not playing it out from the back anymore. I'm assuming this was a halftime adjustment just to boot it long, forget about playing it short. Is that about right?
Yeah, because we're coming under a lot of pressure. We don't want to – sometimes you have to assess the game, as I said. Assess the game. If it's on, it's on. When we're soaking up so much pressure, too many short passes around the back can kind of, you know – invite the opponents to say, okay, they're still brave, let's press. So for me, that was just taking pressure off the team and just getting everyone up, and we just hit the ball up and we reset and go for the second ball and start playing again.
Perfect. Yeah, and this one comes down, I mean, heck of a boot on you, strong leg. You have another save, and this is just a fantastic ball to the, you know, you're in a good position, but it's a, you know, you get a good dive to it, bottom hand, which I think is so impressive. You know, everybody wants to get the top hand save, but get a strong bottom hand. It's just a good save on this one, yeah?
Yeah, I saw that one late actually, too, because I was in my teammates were in the line of fire right there, so I couldn't really see it. I saw it last minute actually, and I just flung myself. I'm like, you know what? Just go. You don't know what can happen. And I just went for it and I got a nice touch, you know. As I said, I saw it pretty late when it passed the first guy that was standing in front, but his body shape told me that he was going to go for a curler too. So I was anticipating that he probably might go for a curler too, you know, which he did. I was in a good spot. So whether he went for a curler or he wanted to hook it back, I was in a decent spot to where I know I can save it.
When you're seeing the body shape and know it's going to be curling, because he's not lining up to try to hit Travella anything outside the boot, you know he's going for a curl. You get a really good jump on it. Like I mentioned, you went bottom hand. It's always kind of preached to goalkeepers, top hand save. In the end, it's just about getting any kind of save, right?
Yeah, and sometimes a top hand save, it's impressive. It looks good, but sometimes you just can't get the top hand there, you know? And I'm tall enough where I went with the bottom hand, got a strong palm, left palm, to push it around the post.
Perfect. From here, you get another long ball that you play on the goal kick. Nice long boot through. Strong leg. I can never get how far you just boot the ball. It's ridiculous.
And I don't have the best technique. So, hey, that sounds good. That sounds really good coming from you, because I don't have the best technique.
What's wrong with it? Is it, do you not get the backspin, or is it, what do you feel like is wrong with it?
I don't know. Sometimes the ball just loops. I don't think I get enough distance. Sometimes when I'm taking a back kick, like, I'm like, did that pass the half line? Like, I don't know, you know? You know, I just try to kick it. My mark is, like, to hit it where the 40 is.
Mm.
Yeah, that's where I try to hit it most times, because I know that will give us a chance to get a flick on. If it comes back, it's in a good enough spot where my defenders are up, where they can challenge for the second ball.
And this one, you're dealing with yet another corner, another in-swinger, and it's another just looping one to the back post. This is one that we talked about kind of earlier, where we mentioned the fact that it's just a looping one, and it was on the top of the six, where I think a lot of people would say, you need to come and get that ball. Why did you not?
I don't – there were bodies in front of me. They were crowding me out. For the most of the second half, they put a player on me, which I couldn't – I think that ball was a ball that I could have probably came for, but at the time there was a player on me, I had to clear him out, and for some reason I couldn't get to the ball, so I just tried to just stay on my line, and hopefully it just misses, which it did.
It did. Luckily enough, good header, but it goes over. It looks like here you're about to play it short again. You had the space. This one comes back to you. You go to play it back. And I think this is the one that you get back, and it has an insane bobble at the end. Yeah, you're under pressure, and this ball gets played, and it takes a last-second bobble. When you see the last-second bobble off of the pitch and you're having to raise your foot up, I mean, what are you just doing? Because if you spin it, if you get too far underneath it, it's just going to spin and go right back at you.
Yeah. You just want to make a connection. Just try to make a decent enough connection and get it out, up and out. You know, sometimes it might drop to the 30 in your half. It might drop to the 40. You might drop to the 50 in the opposite half. You just want to get the contact where it's up and out as far as possible from the goal.
This one, you get another pass back, and you just take what's given to you, which is your left center back, gets played up to the fullback, and you guys get out of it from there. This is after the weather delay. This is coming off of the weather delay, and you guys stop for about 45 minutes-ish, and you're on a fantastic
long weather delay. Yep.
You're coming off a fantastic matchup to this point. You've had three highlight reel saves. You've had some really nice plays out of the back, but you have to just go sit down and just be in your thoughts. Listen to the coach if he's trying to give any kind of feedback. I think at this point it's still Stocks. And what are you doing just to say for 10 to 15 minutes, I need to get back to where I was?
I was just there thinking, it's 10 minutes, 10 minutes, guys. Just keep organized. Let's do what we have to do in the dressing room. I'm like, guys, it's 10 minutes. We can get a win. Obviously, the rain has delayed things. We got to warm up back, but they have to warm up back too, you know? So it's not like the weather affected only one team. It affected both teams, you know? So I had to put that mindset out there. I had to say to myself, it's 10 minutes, you can get this win, you can get a clean sheet, this is your first game back, this would be huge for you, a huge confidence booster for you, just do what you have to do. In the warm-up, I came out back, I did the simple things, I know that it's a wet ball, wet gloves, all of that stuff, so for me, I just try to channel it where I'm there, just trying to get back in my zone as quickly as possible, not overthink or not overreact or say, I have this game. I just want to close out the game and just take it step by step.
And from here, you guys are also up 1-0. And from this point on, there's not much playing it short. It is, they can't just score from the other 40. Yeah. They can't score from the other 40. Get it out.
For sure. For sure. It's just go long. Go long from here. Win the second ball, challenge, all of that.
And that's another ball that you got a pass back that earlier in the game you were playing short. You just instantly go long. Again, you go long again. This is just one of those matches. But you get to another point where there's the ball that comes in, real dangerous ball. And we talked about this one before where this is a ball where a lot of people are going to tell you, hey, come and get that. But this one is hit low, it's hit hard, and it's whipping away from you. So you kind of stay your line. Is this one that you had to really think about? Do I come, or is it you made your mind up and you're sticking to it?
Yeah, made my mind up, sticking to it, get it out. I made an early call, get it out. Away, get it out. I made an early call because I know I wouldn't have gotten there. So I made an early shout.
Yeah, getting those early shouts, just away, away, away. I mean, kind of like keeper, but, you know, for your side, just letting them know, I'm not touching this. How yeah. important is it to get that early call as fast as possible?
As early as possible, because you don't want to make the call delayed, and then you're going for the ball, they're going for the ball, both of you leave the ball, it ends up in your net, or it ends up in an opponent to the opponent. So the earlier the call, the better it is for both opponents. The good thing is I had a really good communication with the backline last year. Whenever I called or I went for a ball, I established that from the preseason that once I call or go for a ball, just get back on the line. And I had a really good relationship with the guys. Once I came off my line, someone would just dash on the line and try to defend. So I had a really good relationship where that was concerned.
This one, you get another. They're just really going for this game, and they're just putting anything they can towards net. And you come and catch it. Somehow keep it in. Keep your footing on the wet turf. And then enough for you to fall inbounds. It's a nice catch and just a really athletic play. I didn't really switch the point of attack, but you went to the open space and you get it out. Yeah. And then from here, again, boot it long. And we're getting close to the point where you're having to make the play. And this is where it happens. And I'm going to say it for you. I'm here so you don't get fined. This is never a pen.
I know that for sure. It was never a pen, but I don't make the rules. I'm not a referee. They're doing their job. Obviously, they made the call, which I think it was, but it happens.
Gets called, agree with it or not, it gets called. It's a red. I think it ends up getting overturned because.
Yeah, it did get overturned, yeah.
But no matter what, if it gets overturned or not, you're still on the face of penalty, and it's the last kick of the game.
Yeah.
Before we get into this, we look at what you saw, if there was a tell, what research you have, which I have a feeling that you knew from a penalty before that you already kind of knew where he liked to go. What's your mindset? I see you do the jumping jacks. Are you a talker? Are you someone who's trying to get in their head, or is it just visual?
Visual, all visual for me. I don't say nothing. I just try to get in my zone. Funny enough, I was watching a few clips, and I went to the same high school as Corey Bennett in Jamaica, and we played for the same youth team in Jamaica also. So when I saw Corey stepping up, I'm like, I got this. And that's when I started to jump, because that was me just celebrating early, you know? That was me jumping, saying I got this, you know. He made a fake right there after me, and I'm like, I wonder if he's gonna switch or something. And I'm like, you know what? To my right, yeah, I'm gonna dive to my right, and I just went for it, and I'm like, thank God I saved this. I got a big palm to it. pushed it out outside. They were alert. They hit it back across. It went out of play. The final whistle blew. We won the game.
Yeah, I mean, you get the big palm. You go instantly to your right. And you mentioned you saw, you know, you went to same high school as him. You saw a few clips. I saw at the end of the match, and the video is going to show later, where you're talking to, I'm assuming it's the GK2, and you give him a point, and you both just kind of start laughing about something, and you're both celebrating. We talk about the GK2 and supporting. Watching the penalties is a big deal, yeah?
Yeah.
So from here, he's doing his run-up, and you just go to your right and save. It doesn't quite go out. How do you keep yourself in the moment and just get up right to defend again? Because at that point, I think I would have been just celebrating like crazy.
No, the play, the ball is still in play. There's no time to celebrate for me. It's all business. There's no time to celebrate. The ball is still in play. All I wanted was the guys to be alert and just get things over with, you know, like, the final whistle blew, and I was really happy.
When I know there's some goalkeepers out there that look for tells. See, that was what I was talking about. You give them a point, and you guys just start laughing about something. That's where I kind of assumed that you kind of saw this over film somewhere. But
for me, I saw it over film, but I did my own research. What I told the GK2 was, this is for you. Yeah, that's what I told him, because the game before that, he didn't have such a good game, and he came out, and that's when I got back the opportunity to come back in, because as I said, I was coming, I got in late from international duty, and the coach made a decision, and I had to just watch him be a good professional, keep the environment, a healthy environment. And I sat on the bench for like 6 games, and I got my opportunity to come back in, and it was a magical night for me. But I said to him, this one is for you, man, because obviously it's a goalkeeper union, and you don't want to see a goalkeeper make a mistake, whether at the baby stage, the international stage, wherever you want to call it. You know, you don't want to see a goalkeeper make a mistake, so... For me, that was me just saying, hey, this is for you, man. You can rise from anything, you know? And that was just a motivation from me to him, being the more experienced and the older goalkeeper in the room and in the locker room.
You mentioned the international, and I want to hop on this real fast before I let you go. You got to put on, you know, you got to put on the shirt. You got to represent the Reggae Boys. The first time you did it, you got your first international cap. What's that feeling like, man?
Man, that feeling is one that will never leave me, man. This debut was when I was actually still in college at the University of the West Indies, where I was just 22. And I was having the season of my life back home in Jamaica at that point at 22. I think that year I ended up winning the goalkeeper of the year with, I think, 16 clean sheets. We missed out in the semifinals, you know. But that year, I was having a fantastic year. Got rewarded with a call-up. We played South Korea. Song wasn't there because he was still back in England at the time because the EPL was going on. But the game was played in January, where they were just preparing and looking at some other plays that they might carry to the World Cup. And I got the nod. And to be fair, I think I went on that camp as GK2 and not GK1.
Mm-hmm.
But based on how I was performing in the training sessions, the coaches decided to go with me. And I got the nod, and walking out there in the tunnel, like hearing the national anthem, I'm like, this is it, man. This is the international stage. You're making your debut, kid, you know? So that was really, I was really happy. I remember like yesterday, a few tears fell from my eyes while just walking out and knowing that, you know, I'm playing for my country at the highest level, because a lot of players don't get to play for their country. You know, a lot of players out there, they would really want to represent their country. And I've had the privilege to represent my country 12 times, you know, and not as a starter. So that's a huge achievement for me, which I will always cherish. You know, that was the first time for me actually traveling to Europe, also playing on nice pitches. So, you know, that's a moment I'll forever cherish.
You know, talk about your time at the University of West Indies, 96th appearance for the university, where you were just a mere gender and development studies student.
Yeah.
And your dream was to be a professional footballer, and man, you made it. Super proud of you, man. Where you did it last year and, you know, taking those appearances. So happy for you, dude.
Thank you. Appreciate that, man. Appreciate that.
Well, hey, listen, Amal, you've been great. This has been an absolute blast. I really hope that people watching this, you know, really take stuff away from watching the film. It's not often you get to watch film with a professional goalkeeper, someone capped at the international level, and is about to be yet another goalkeeping superstar of League One, because you already won last year. And so excited to see what you and Lexington do and that basically MLS squad you have over there in Lexington.
Yeah, it's a huge squad, you know. We get in each day, we prepare right. The guys are fantastic, you know, a fantastic crop of guys coming in this season. Some big names, which I think everyone has seen. So, hey, we'll see what happens. On paper, it's a really good squad. It's a lot of big name players on the team. So it's just for us to get together on a weekday or a weekend, you know. And the season is just probably a month away. So we're preparing really nicely, and hopefully we can bring home the League One title this year.
Hey. Appreciate you being on the very first episode of For the Glove of the Game from the USL show. Amal, good luck this season. I hope to talk with you again and breaking down another standout performance match from you, man.
Thank you. Thank you for having me, man.
And everybody watching, thank you so much. And see you again, hopefully in about a week or so. And if you're a patron, you are watching this on like a Thursday night. Everybody else, Sunday morning watching, whenever you're watching the Prem or whatever you're watching. Appreciate you all. Appreciate it. Thank you all.